Welcome to this morning's audio recording of Choral Eucharist from Belfast Cathedral for Sunday the 5th of December, the second Sunday in Advent. The preacher is Dean Stephen Ford and the celebrant is the Reverend Dr. Maithri White. When the service ends, please remember to hang up straight away.
Well, good morning and welcome to our service of Choral Eucharist on this, the second Sunday of Advent. Welcome once again to our children's choir and to those of you who are family and friends, although I'm conscious that some of our choir members are absent due to the usual pre-Christmas colds that circulate. Welcome also to those of you who are visitors with us today. Now, I'm hoping that you can hear me this morning. We have been having problems over the past number of weeks with our replacement speaker system, which meant that many of you were not able to hear the services properly. During the week, we discovered what the problem was. Someone had unplugged the south side speaker and scrambled all its complicated electrical controls. I hope that the problem is now fixed, but to make sure, we have a new code. A certain member of the cathedral board is going to wave their hands if they can hear me. I see some at the front. The designated person is not waving his hands. Let me remind you that there are copies of both of the Christmas CDs which are available for purchase after today's service. Let me also remind parents that the Children's Choir and Songbirds Christmas Concert will be held this coming Friday, the 10th of December. And then on Saturday, the 11th of December, the Cathedral Choir are performing music from their Christmas CD at the Portico of Lards venue in Portaferry. And details of all our key Christmas services are printed in the notices section at the back of your service sheet. Now, this being the second Sunday in Advent, we have our second Advent candle to light. And for this, I will need the help of one of our children's choir members. So, as we light the second candle, people of God, be glad. Your God delights in you, giving you joy for sadness and turning dark to light. Be strong in hope, therefore, for your God comes to save. You are God's children. Together, Lord, make us one in the love of Christ today and forever. Amen. Thank you very much.
The Lord be with you. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts. A voice cries out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. So let us listen and turn to the Lord in penitence and faith. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Father in heaven, who sent your Son to redeem the world and will send him again to be our judge, give us grace so to imitate him in the humility and purity of his first coming, that when he comes again, we may be ready to greet him with joyful love and firm faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armor of light, now, in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son Jesus Christ came to us in great humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that on the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Speak, Lord, for now your servants are listening. Amen. This Christmas, what is it that we long for most? I think the answer which many of us would give is a normal Christmas. For some people, that means longing for Christmas parties without any restrictions. For many people, we long to see the family and friends that we did not see last Christmas. And we long to gather all our family together on Christmas Day around the Christmas table. Longing is what the season of Advent is all about. And I'm sure that the members of our children's choir are longing for the school year to end and the Christmas holidays to begin. And I wonder, do you remember that childhood feeling of longing that Christmas morning would finally come? How many sleeps to Santa? And that strange, excited feeling of trying to get to sleep on Christmas Eve to make sure that Christmas morning would come and all the hoped-for presents would arrive as soon as possible. This past summer, we in our family had another sort of longing as we waited for the arrival of our second granddaughter. For us, the month of July was put on hold. It was a month of waiting and watching and getting ready for a new birth. With these 4 weeks of Advent, each with its candle to light, we are a people who are called to wait and watch and get ready. But it's not just making sure that the Christmas presents we have ordered online will arrive in time for Christmas Day. And it's not just waiting to check that the supermarkets still have all the right ingredients for our favourite turkey stuffing, or even that there are enough turkeys for everyone who wants one. No, we are to wait and watch and get ready for the birth of the baby of Bethlehem. And yet there is much more to this pregnancy of waiting. Are we to get ready for the coming of the long-awaited Saviour, the Christ who will come to rescue our humanity? Last Sunday evening, many of you were present for our Advent carol service when we sang these words of longing in the last verse of Lo, He Comes. We sang, Saviour, take the power and glory, claim the kingdom for thine own. O come quickly. O come quickly. O come quickly, everlasting God, come down. You see, here is the question which Advent poses for us all. At Christmas, do we simply long to hear again that a baby was born in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago? Or do we long for a revolution where, because of that birth, God continues to overturn the world order, where, as Isaiah prophesied, every valley is filled in, every steep hill is laid low, where the twists and turns of a perverse life are straightened out, and where the rocky road is relaid as a silk-smooth highway. If we retell the story of the birth of Jesus as a fairy tale of wonder, bathed in the warm glow of the innkeeper's lamp and under the benign twinkling of a starlit night long, long ago, if that is our story, then we have completely failed to understand the message which the gospel writers want to make. For their gospel truth proclaims an entirely different Christian message and Christmas message for us. Across 500 years of invasion and war and exile, God's people longed for that day when God himself would intervene into history and send the saving Son of David to liberate his people and usher in God's new reign. Centuries before, the prophet Amos cried out with God's own longing, "Even though you offer me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, says the Lord. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, He was born into a time and a place of political oppression and day-to-day misery and hard life. Joseph and Mary, pregnant with her firstborn, were forced by government diktat to walk the 90-mile journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, to be registered for a Roman poll tax that would make their lives even more difficult. And when Jesus was just a few months old, Joseph and Mary were forced to flee Bethlehem as refugees to Egypt. They fled as refugees to save the Saviour of the world, before King Herod the Great could kill the child born to be king. I don't know how many of you enjoy Renaissance art, but the flight of Egypt was often chosen as the most powerful expression of the meaning of Christmas by the Renaissance artists. Not simply the birth of a baby in Bethlehem, but to show the longing for that implosion of God's love and salvation for our world held in the arms of a refugee family fleeing political oppression and violence. This is the very reason why St. Luke, the Gospel writer, locks the preaching of John the Baptist, herald of the new king, into the politics of the time when the adult Jesus breaks into our world's history. As we've heard, the 15th year of the rule of the Roman Emperor Tiberius was the year 28 AD by our calendar. The tyrannical King Herod the Great had died when Jesus was a small boy, and Herod's kingdom had been divided four ways. By the time that Jesus and John were adults, Judea was under Roman direct rule, administered by a Roman governor whose name we know, Pontius Pilate. To the north, Galilee was ruled by Herod's son, Herod Antipas. Across the Jordan and around the city of Caesarea Philippi, it was Philip, son by King Herod and Cleopatra of Egypt, who was tetrarch, while Licinius was technically a ruler, but the emperor Tiberius kept him under house arrest. Even the Jewish high priesthood was a matter of controversy. To the Jewish religious, Annas was high priest for life, but the Romans had deposed him and installed his son-in-law Caiaphas as a more amenable high priest in his place. And so it was into this world of geopolitics and human difficulty, religious tensions and daily sickness that John the Baptizer stepped onto the stage of history. And he proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. I don't suppose that sentence from Luke chapter 3 particularly stood out for you when Canon Mark read it a few moments ago. And yet it's a statement pregnant with longing and revolutionary with intent. A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Baptism, it tells of a new birth and an entirely new beginning, each of our personal histories rebooted and reborn. Repentance, it means that we are to turn our lives around. We are to turn our backs on the old ways of self-importance and self-service. And instead, we are to turn our lives to face the Son of God, calling us to new life, new birth, and new God-given priorities for our world. Forgiveness. Perhaps we think we know what that means. But the word which John uses means liberation, a setting free from all that imprisons us, as powerful and as poignant as that day when Nelson Mandela was set free from his prison on Robben Island. In fact, the word which John uses can even mean that moment at the start of a horse race, and I know in the congregation, or at least behind me, there are some keen horse race followers. That moment when the starter gun sets all the horses free to race around the course. It is that level of forgiveness, of liberation, that we are called to find from what the Bible always calls sin. But sin for Jesus is every time you and I fall short of the mark which God has set for our lives. So what is it that our world longs for? What is it that every refugee made in the image of Jesus longs for? What is it that our Christmas carols call us to long for? As we've heard, the carol the children's choir will sing is, "Long ago, prophets knew Christ would come, born a Jew." Is it not that this Christmas in our world and in our lives we would make that new beginning when we turn our lives around to face the Son of God, liberated by the revolution of God's love, so that we might begin to hit the targets for our lives set for us each day by God our loving Father? Advent is a time of longing for the things which matter to us most. So this Advent and this Christmas, what will you long for? Amen.
We stand to affirm our faith in the one who was born as a baby and as a refugee. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray that God will grant us true repentance and forgiveness of sins. Empower your church to speak with the prophetic voice that proclaims the way of salvation. Fill all of her people, in each of their callings, with zeal to be ministers of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant to the rulers of this world the spirit of humility and the gift of discernment, that their power may be exercised for the good of all. Make straight the crooked ways in which so many walk astray, and make smooth the rough places of bitter strife. Lord, in your mercy, help us to use this Advent time well, to hear again the call to repentance and the message of salvation. We pray for all community workers, social workers, and probation officers. Lead all who live and work in this community into the paths of peace. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the sick and injured, for the lonely and neglected, for those who mourn, known to us or unknown. Today we pray for the Reverend Heather Cook and family as they mourn the loss of her mum, Mrs. Edna McIlvenny, a member of this cathedral. Bring them comfort in their afflictions and guide the efforts of those who work for their relief. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our
Pray for those who in the flesh saw the salvation of God and have entered into perfection. Give us grace to follow them in the way prepared for those who seek the kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, we ask that you stand with all whose lives have been touched by personal experience of COVID-19, especially those suffering at present and those who have lost loved ones. Bless all who work in healthcare, the fields of research and vaccination, and those with leadership responsibilities in these challenging times. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. In the tender mercy of our God, the day spring from on high shall break upon us to give light to those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Look upon us in mercy, not judgment. Draw us from hatred to love. Make the frailty of our prayers a dwelling place for your glory. Amen. Amen. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate in peace.
Father, almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. Salvation is your gift to the coming of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and by him you will make all things new when he returns in glory to judge the world. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension, and we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Christ is Lord.
To the glory of God the Father. Lord, here you have nourished us with the food of life. Through our sharing in this holy sacrament, teach us to judge wisely earthly things, and to yearn for things heavenly. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you and gladden your hearts and scatter the darkness from before you. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, Amen.
Thank you for joining with us today for morning worship from Belfast Cathedral. Please hang up now.